The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. The umbrella protest, 10 o'clock tomorrow on St. Claude and Foster Community Voice. Vanessa Garinger, our guest, the man telling people to come on out and support this protest. She's vice president of A Community Voice. Lock widening, you know, hey, displacement, no real proof that it's needed. And it's just so many of these different issues back on that community again. And it's not just the Lower Nine, man. Injustice anywhere is injustice.
Everywhere. Everywhere. It's a threat to justice everywhere.
Everywhere. And yes, also, one more time, for our 1968 graduating class of McDonough 35, they're celebrating their 50th class reunion this October. So make sure you contact C. Collins at 504-606-2560. 504-606-2560. In the studio right now, we need more than an hour to talk about and to think about with Mr. Think 504, but we're going to try to get as much stuff in as possible. Jeff Thomas, publisher and editor of Think504.com. Welcome back to the Good Morning Show.
Thank you. Thank you, Oliver, for having me. I really appreciate the time you give me on
man, it is always, station. Man, you're always so insightful, provocative, to say the least. Truth to power,
yeah.
Accountability, demanding yeah. accountability. But your articles are always so spot on in terms of what people are thinking, you right. know. You know, there's the news, and then there's the stuff that really matters to us. There's the stuff that everybody talks about.
Right.
And then there's those barbershop, beauty
right.
shop,
right.
around the table,
right.
sitting down, you know, having a drink, you
right.
know. You have all those kind of conversations.
Yeah, well, you know, I thank you. You know, you're making me feel good about myself right now because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's what I try to do. I try to get mm-hmm. out there what people are really saying and thinking. You know, our viewpoints are not necessarily published in the major publications around
right.
town, but people like the Tribune, Louisiana Weekly, Think 504, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's vital to the kind of information that we put out there, the perspective that we bring to the table, because otherwise you won't get it. It just doesn't happen.
Otherwise you won't get it. But before we get into in depth into some of this stuff that's really in people's crawl mm-hmm. we'll, you know, these days,
mm-hmm.
Leonard Fournette, man, went number
that?
Four, more money, more money.
Oh, man. Tell you
money.
What, I might sound a little scratchy this morning.
Doogie's a little boy.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I was. We were out in New Orleans East in a cigar bar, had a little alumni association
right.
gathering. We had a
right.
good time. I ate a steak and drank right. a couple of beers and smoked a couple of cigars. And, you know, when Leonard's name came up at
right.
four, the place erupted. People
right.
were happy. And I'm happy for him, I mean, that he went
right.
number four. But personally, like you and I were talking about a little bit off air, I would have rather have seen him go to Carolina.
I would have,
for
too.
For his career.
Yeah,
you
know? I don't want Jacksonville to use him up, you know, because
right.
they're going to have to jump on his back.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's what they have. You know, whereas in Carolina, he would have been in
some relief for Cam. Yeah.
And they have another great running back,
right.
and they have a system,
right.
and he would have been paired with another St. Aug grad, Trey
right.
Turner, in the
yeah.
line, on the line. So it would have been a great situation for him. Of course, he would have come here and run over the Saints a couple of times. twice a year he would have seen the Saints. But for him personally, I'm happy for him, and I'm looking for. He's a great young man, like everybody says, and he's a great running back, and he's going to do great.
Well,
things.
For his mother and father, he had parents.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so that was a good thing that them involved in this. So let's hope you know, he's a multimillionaire. Let's
That's
hope
right.
he makes good decisions with his money.
I'm sure he will. I hope he does, but yeah.
Let's hope that he avoids
yeah.
all the new friends.
Yeah, I tell you, right. If you saw him last night, I saw a bunch of the people that I've always seen around him, so
mm-hmm.
he's got that same core,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of insulate him and protect him, so I'm
happy. Well, and let's hope that he does something. Thaddeus Young, you know, Felton
uh-huh.
Young's son.
Sure.
Thaddeus plays with the Indiana Pacers now.
Oh, Pacers now, right.
You know,
okay, right.
Thaddeus been, I love what he does, and Thaddeus has been on the show before.
Uh-huh.
Everybody who works with Thaddeus, all of his quote unquote, he doesn't have he's not really an entourage kind of kid.
Mm-hmm.
But all family and friends, they have a job.
Right. That's right. That's right. Exactly right. They're not just sponges.
You can't just hang around with him.
That's right.
You got to watch the house, cut the grass.
Right. There's a good program.
Take the kids to school. You have to do something to earn. So hopefully, Leonard and his family will get together, and everybody that's around him
has a role to play in the job.
Have a job.
I'm with
Leonard. Leonard don't owe you.
That's right.
Nothing. Or do like LeBron James did. He sent all of his friends back to school.
That's right. That's right. And only his closest friend works with him now, and is his manager and his CPA. I think
that's absolutely correct.
Yeah, that's right. So right, and hopefully Leonard follows that model because LeBron James is one of the greatest.
Don't Allen Iverson. Mike Tyson.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's right. And so I'm thinking though that. Given what I know about his family, it's not that much, but a little bit, it seems to me that they're going to be on the right path. And I'm really hopeful. And here's another thing, just quickly. When I was reading the prognostications about his translation from college to the pros, they talked about they weren't sure about his hands and how great of a pass receiver he is. Let me tell you, at St. Aug, that's what he did.
He can catch. He did it. If he could have threw it to himself, he did that. That a few times.
Yeah, I think he might have.
I saw him running back, quarterback, receiver, and linebacker and safety.
That's right.
All in the same game.
That's right. Well, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. He played both ways at St. Aug. I mean, I watched him from his freshman year on. I mean, I go to every St. Aug football game. I just like it. I think high school sports is the greatest thing.
I've seen you at high school guys. I think too often the people in this town neglect high school sports in some of our local colleges, man.
Right.
Now, nothing wrong with going to the Dillard or Southern or Suno game or Xavier or UNO or Tulane.
And those are fun, too.
They're fun, too.
But, you know, at the raw athleticism, the real competitiveness, the real one-on-one, you know, kind of battles.
Right.
I mean, it's all real. It's there on display. I love high school sports.
For the love of the game.
Yes,
504-260-9265. MrThink504.com. Jeff Thomas, he's back. Y'all requested him. You always want him.
Here we go.
Well, he's here. Monuments, finally.
Oh.
Finally?
Finally. How about that? Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you. I think I want people to go to think504.com because I have an article which it makes me laugh when I read it, and I wrote it. And it says, bust out the water hoses and the growling dogs.
Right.
You know what? I tell you this. In 2017, that the city has to be afraid of white terrorists who are, you know, still impacting and dictating what's happening in society today. Do I remember the 60s? Do I remember when black people were protesting for their rights? And do I remember water hoses being shot on them by the government? Do I remember vicious dogs? Do I remember that? Because the government at the time was protecting its interests. Now, we thought it was wrong, and ultimately we proved them to be wrong, right? But the fact is that the city has the responsibility, in my mind, to carry out the wishes and the will of the people and to not be intimidated by terrorists. That's what we have going on.
I think that was most disturbing to me. I did some commentary earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm. Right, I heard you. Right.
You know, on why would they be taken down during the night. And then Eileen Carter, who does a host of Good Life Works here at the station, she had done she had made some conversation. She called me and she said that there was a reason. Why they had to be done under the darkness of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because of the number of threats. And when I saw the picture of the people masked with bulletproof vests, that had to be a scene somewhere out of 20s, 30s, and 40s Germany.
White terrorism is alive and well in America today.
It kind of told us where we are.
Right.
You know, and how much further we have to go because, and when I talked about Jeff, these monuments of war,
they
were monuments of war and terror.
That's right.
To have to worry about someone being threatened to kill to remove something that actually represented death.
That's right. Well, listen, these people are traitors. These people fought against the country, the Union. They fought against the United States of America. Mm-hmm. Today, they still have a flag that I was driving down by City Park and that 20 of them with Confederate flags right now, today, in America. They have their own flag. They are not, to me, they are a cult. But the point that I want to make that's critical mm-hmm. is that they go against the country. These guys are traitors. They were traitors then, and they're traitors today. This is the government of the United States. This is the government of the state of Louisiana. This
domestic
is the government
terrorism.
Of the city of New Orleans, carrying out the wishes and the will of the people mm-hmm. in a democracy. And so that these people are trying to intimidate the government talks to their treacherous, traitorous ways.
Jeff, let's dig a little deep into this conversation. Now, mm-hmm. We have a white mayor who should be given credit.
Give him great credit. You know, I'm a vocal, outspoken critic yeah. of the mayor, but I want to give him kudos on this effort. He deserves it. He has pushed back against all of these terrorists, and he's continuing on. He's continuing to fight. He's continuing to do it. I would encourage him. I do encourage him to continue to make sure that these monuments come down.
Also, we can't celebrate this without going back to some of the original voices.
Carl Gowman, Malcolm Subo,
Reverend Avery Alexander, with the Liberty Monument.
Yeah, in fact, I have a picture of him being, and that's what I'm talking about. We have the government here in the city of New Orleans. Here you got a picture, if you go to think504.com, mm-hmm. a picture mm-hmm. of two New Orleans police officers having him in a chokehold.
I can't breathe.
Let me tell you something. Another one with a billy, and they're attacking Reverend Avery Alexander mm-hmm. amidst D.C. Confederate flags. And this is the government protecting the will of the people at the time. We need to do the exact same thing.
Carl Gowman, mm-hmm. Reverend Marie Gladys Ortiz, Ortiz.
Right.
Now,
I
remember years ago, but mm-hmm. specifically to Malcolm Subin and the young people, mm-hmm. The millennials and all those
sure.
folk who we criticize for not being attached to having social mm-hmm. conscious quests at the time. Many of them now who were 20, 30 years later, Malcolm didn't give up this quest.
That's right. And
a lot of people would have given up a long time ago.
Well, exactly right. And that's part of what, you know, I'm going to branch off onto a little tangent and say, you mm-hmm. know, we always talk about why people aren't engaged in the political process and why people don't mm-hmm. do things. I think part of the reason is that, you know, I heard somebody call in and I often say, you know, our politicians haven't delivered the goods. But part of the reason is that change in politics is slow. I mean,
that's the point I don't
yeah,
want to make.
There is that, you know, you inch along to make changes politically. I mean, you see Donald Trump having these kinds of problems. He came in, you can promise and talk great stuff in a campaign. But when you're talking about making government shift, you turn it around a battleship, and it doesn't happen.
Dorothy May Taylor's not here. Reverend right. Alexander is gone. Mm-hmm. Mr. Gowman, of course, is not as spry mm-hmm. as he used to be.
That's right.
Reverend Gladys, but had Malcolm given up
right.
When many of them died or when many of them couldn't continue that level of protest, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be here right now.
Well, that's right. And so that's what I'm talking – I talk a little bit about this in that article, and that is that, you know, in 2017, the complete – integration of African Americans into society means that we take down these monuments. This is part of this long.
We're
going
to go to the lines
book.
Right now. 504-260-9265. Okay. Mike, you're on with Mr. Think504.com, Jeff Thomas.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you this morning?
We're doing great, Mike. God bless you,
thanks,
Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks. How are you today?
I really don't have a position on the monuments.
Yeah.
Mainly because my family history starts in this country in 1955 when mm-hmm. my parents came over.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a deep attachment to these monuments. My question is this. The gentleman there said that he was driving down someplace and he saw a Confederate flag flying and the monuments. But my question is, where in the Constitution does it say that we have the right to not be offended by something?
Well, it doesn't say
it
that.
Doesn't
you can be offended.
That.
But
it doesn't say that.
That's right. So but what is the point? Listen, because something is offensive doesn't mean that the government should move it. But if it's the will of the people, then and the people decide that that's what they want to do, then they can do it. So listen, here's the thing. I was offended by these white dudes with their Confederate flags around PTG, the Beauregard Monument. It was quite offensive. I didn't stop and yell out at them. I didn't do anything. I just kept going and noted it. But because they have the right to freedom of speech. And we have the right as Americans in the city of New Orleans to take down those monuments. And that's what we're doing. We're exercising
and,
that same right.
And that is a valid argument. Then put it to a vote of the people.
Well,
nine people, not the mayor and the council and somebody else.
Well, let me tell you
put
what happened.
Put it to a vote of the people.
And, Mike, I talked about this on the show the other day. The mayor is real sophisticated when it comes to his politics. They did polling, and in several of the polls, 56% up to 60% of the people in the city were in favor of removal of the monuments. And I think in one poll, majority whites were even in favor of removal of the monuments. So your politicians. They're not stupid, not as stupid as we think they are.
No, you're right. Mitch is angling for something bigger. Mm-hmm. This is only to get his name out in the nation publicly. Well, he needs another job after this.
Well, that might be true. I don't know if that's the only reason.
Wait, let me ask you one question.
Go ahead.
If it was put to a general vote of the people in New Orleans, do you think they would vote to take him down or keep him up?
Take them down. They would.
I don't think people would get out and vote.
All the polling, no, but all the polling showed that.
All the polling goes, but if you got to get people to get up and move somewhere and say, I'm going to vote for this, that's a different story than coming up to them and saying, what do you think about it?
Mike, let me tell you this, and I know a little bit about, you always hear me telling people about getting out to vote. I talked about it today. Folk may not have been motivated to vote for bodies and personalities, but if this issue... If this issue had came up, given all the national attention and money that would have come over from all over the country for and against, I can guarantee you, brother, folk would have came out to vote.
I don't disagree.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you as always, man. And God bless, man. Have a great Jazz Fest weekend. This is one where people were motivated and engaged. Sure. People had an opinion.
Right.
On this.
I think you're right, Oliver. I think that by and large, we came out to vote for Obama. We came out to vote. We do
this
designer elections.
This would have been one of them special events.
Absolutely right. This is one of those that people would, in fact, be motivated. And I guess Mike thinks that they wouldn't. And I think that speaks to, the difference in some white people and some black people is that
We're not totally null and void.
That's right. right. Exactly right.
We do have some feeling.
Right. So I'm happy that it's happening. I'm happy that these monuments are coming down. I'm hopeful that, this doesn't turn ugly. But these are terrorists that we're talking about. And so I think the city needs to be prepared. Just like you see them chokeholding Avery Alexander, the city needs police. We need to call in the National Guard, the state police, whatever we need to do to protect the right of the government. We need to do it. This is real. This is important.
Well,
this has to happen.
When I learned the nature of the threats and how hostile it was, I understand now why there is this veil of secrecy.
Right.
I understand now why there are armed guards with people masked with bulletproof vests. It's unfortunate.
It is. But listen, I mean, this is growing. I mean, these people are now having camping out by these monuments. They plan to protest this. And so we're going to have a show of force. But let me say this. In the article, I say bust out the hoses and the growling dogs. We may not need to go to those measures. But I think if we use more modern and more, just like what happened in Baton Rouge when the police, if you walked in the street, you were arrested. Mm-hmm. If you broke any city ordinance, they arrested you and removed you. And I think we need that kind of strict adherence to local laws surrounding these monuments to make sure that they're gone. I mean, but this is extremely important. This is the further integration into American life of African Americans, taking these monuments down.
There's another part of the discussion that we had that I want you before we get to some of these other issues, and that is the whole conversation of symbolism versus substance.
Right.
We've had several African Americans, and Mike is right about one thing. There are some folk in the African American community who, given that the monuments were not high on their list, not because they didn't think that it should come down, but because they thought there's so many more substantive issues.
Right. That's right.
That we need to deal with.
That's right.
While we're doing this.
That's right. That's right. Right. So, and I hear that all the time. And like the mayor said, we can multitask. This is important. And it is symbolic, and symbols are important. If they weren't, you wouldn't have these protests. You wouldn't have these threats. You wouldn't have these people out there with the Confederate flags trying to protect those monuments if it wasn't important. And let me just say this. I'll give credit to Southern whites right after the Civil War. This lost cause, I mean, their whole point was to try to shift the historical view of the law of the Confederacy. It was an attempt to shift it from, you know, a fight for slavery and white supremacy to some more benign, more just cause. And the fact is, they were successful because today you have people talking about, you know, the Civil War was not about slavery and white supremacy, and that's all it was about.
You raise a good point because there's several academics and historians in the African American community who say that they wish that we had the same level of zeal and zest about Malcolm and Martin and about the Voting Rights Act. They wish that we were as connected to that history as many of these whites are to the Confederacy.
Well, I think it's important that what you do every day, Oliver. That's what's happening. We changed the narrative. You know, once before one of my previous segments, we talked about narrative bias.
Yes.
And this is an example of it. This narrative bias is these Southern whites have changed or have attempted to co-opt the storyline and make it about something different. The Civil War is about racism, it was about white supremacy, and it was about slavery. And that's what it was about, and that's the story we need to tell. And that's what you're doing, and you're keeping it real.
There's an article that I read some time ago. It was about monuments of war.
Mm-hmm.
And it explains why, in a civilized society, why they have to come down.
That's right.
And it explains why symbols mean something. It explains what they do to the images of young men and women.
Right.
And I'm going to have to find that.
Yeah, you should.
And read it again. But they're called symbols of war. And they said that they have no place.
That's right.
Actually, in a humane society, it doesn't mean they don't belong in a museum somewhere.
Right.
It doesn't mean they shouldn't be displayed as part of teaching someplace, but not to be celebrated.
Right. Yes. Listen, the evolution of the inculcation of rights in the black person is a slow process. We're on a slow boat. And even though we've had a president of the United States of America, we still have not been fully inculcated into the American society.
Well, we know that once Mr. Think 504 starts to think about something, he's usually going to do a lot of research, have article, data, information, and we're going to talk about it. We've heard the conversation about the traffic cameras for years. Nobody likes them, but they continue to be forced on us.
Right.
They've been called unconstitutional in some towns.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson Parish has to stop them because judges said they were illegals.
Mm-hmm.
Illegal, but the same judge in Jefferson Parish, it could have the same judge in Orleans Parish, but our judges seem to rule differently.
Mm-hmm.
This beast. I call them terrorists. These terrorist cameras. What value do they have? What value do they give us here?
Well, let me tell you. In my estimation, these cameras create crime. These cameras.
Hold on a sec. Wait. Come on, Jeff Thomas. Now, and you've been consistent. You're thinking that there's a snowball effect that actually caused to help deteriorate. The quality of life in this community and actually break it. You think these traffic cameras make it worse? Come on, now, are you serious?
Yes, sir. You know, I like to, as we, I seem to have this theme about slow boat and inching along. That's the end. Let's talk about these cameras from the beginning and talk about how they've been implemented and talk about the way they're working and then talk about why they
create
crime.
But it's about public
crime safety
and stopping accidents.
Foolishness. It's about money. It's about cash. It's about revenue. And if you believe otherwise.
Now, you usually don't make statements like that unless you got something to back it up.
Let's talk about it. All right. Let's talk about traffic cameras. I mean, first of all, there are all kinds of studies. The university, Texas A&M University, is the foremost institution in this country that deals with traffic patterns and traffic studies. You know, the Causeway used them when people were going over the bridge, and they did a
study. They work all over the world.
And so if you go to their website, you'll find that traffic camera public safety ranking or measures are inconsistent at best. Now, they work best at traffic signals, at red lights. Generally speaking, they don't have any real impact down streets in school zones and that kind of stuff the way we use them. They're most effective.
Zero impact.
Very little.
Negligible.
Very little. Negligible. But their real impact is at traffic signals.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, you know, that's where most accidents occur, at traffic lights. People run in a red light, run, you know, in New Orleans, yellow means speed the heck up. And so that's what people do. And accidents happen at traffic signals. They reduce those red light accidents by about 15 to 20%. But also what you find is that those same signals, when you install these traffic cameras, they increase rear end collisions by about 22%. So it's a mix. It's mixed.
I knew you'd do your homework.
Well, that's part of it, right?
Okay.
But let's talk about the city of New Orleans and how we these.
But surely, look, it's the way we struggle with funds here. Surely our elected officials wouldn't force things these things on us if they didn't add to the greater public good.
Well, surely I think that they're revenue focused only.
Okay.
That's it.
So they do have a purpose.
They have a purpose, and this thing, listen, here's part of the problem. A big part of the city budget is contingent upon us collecting traffic camera fines. So, you know, I think you had Clancy on one time, and he talked about how it was a great thing that the mayor balanced the budget. And that is a great thing. However, when you dig into the details a little bit, you find a big part of balancing the budget is collecting fines and fees from traffic camera enforcement.
How much?
It's around $200 million that they're trying to collect from traffic fees.
Wait. That's 200. That's outstanding, right?
No. That's what's outstanding. Maybe it's $100 million that they need to collect from traffic camera fees, which is why you see them all over town now. This is not an accident.
That's a sixth of the budget.
Do you understand
that
this?
Are you
serious? Have you seen all the traffic camera signs around town?
Yes, I have.
This is not an accident. Now, let me tell you how sinister this gets.
Wait, Jeff, Tom. That's the first time you used that word.
Sinister?
Sinister?
Well, let me tell you how.
And traffic cameras.
Let me tell you how. It just didn't make sense. But in Mitch Landrieu's first term, they increased the fees for speeding through school zones.
Right.
Now, we didn't know why. Well, they went up. I mean, they tripled them. Why?
Right.
Oh, well, now we know why, because now we got 7,000 traffic. I'm exaggerating, but we have hundreds of traffic camera signs across town, and 90% of them are in school zones. Is there a reason why? Because the highest traffic ticket fine is produced when you speed through a school zone.
We didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, you would think that we have this huge problem of kids getting hit in school zones.
Wow, you've really investigated this.
Let me tell you, I'm deep into this. I'm deep in the woods. You got callers.
We got callers, man. You don't want Jeff Thomas to get on something, man. What's that guy, Elder, used to be with Channel 4? Line one, Reverend Calhoun, you're on with Jeff Thomas, Mr. Think 504.
I've got to make it quick. If the city making $200 million off it, how much is Arizona making? New Orleans with these cameras.
Well, you're right. You know, Rev Calhoun, how you doing this morning? You're right. Exactly right. Now, that's another part of...
I got to get off.
Right. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Calhoun.
But he's right. Listen, that's big. That's a part of what I was going to
mention. So it's not even a local company that's
right.
That's
exactly right. It would be great if we had some local DBA, some black company, you know, getting the money and sharing the resources.
Even a local white company with a DBE.
No. I think a black company in the city of New Orleans ought to be running this program.
Right.
Me personally.
Yeah,
that's
I understand.
What I think. But it would be great if that were the case. But no, it's these guys in Arizona and Cincinnati that. Right. Getting all of the cash from us, from our citizens. You know, we get 33%. It's a commission deal get. We're offering up our drivers to balance the
budget.
There's
a whole lot more to these cameras than we thought about, than we knew.
Let me tell you, it gets worse. You want to take a call?
I want to take a call because the lines are lit up. 504-260-9265. Y'all got him. Y'all want him. I told y'all he was on fire this morning. You ain't seen the best of it yet. Line two, Wes, you're on with Mr. Think 504.
Yeah, I just want to say that more cameras gives you a better collection average. And I'm also going to say this. I will never pay a traffic camera ticket simply because bicycles are governed by the same traffic.
Go ahead.
What did he say?
Not record bicycles.
Oh, bicycles.
Discriminate against me.
All right.
Hey, Wes, one thing we do know, if they keep – If they do, if the city council keeps letting them enforce these cameras, they're going to force people on bikes. Thank you, Wes.
Well, that's right. Yeah, we got all these bike lanes around town.
No doubt about it. Line three, Lonnie, you're on with Jeff Thomas.
Yeah, sure. How y'all doing this morning, brother?
Doing fine, man. Brother.
The only thing about the traffic ticket is this.
All right.
Everybody is treated equal.
Yeah, bad.
Well, that's true.
Bad.
You see, that's what the problem is.
Right.
And Jeff from Paris, see, they can't go to the judge or the DA and get that ticket written off. It's there. The camera, you got they on camera, okay?
Yeah.
They got to pay the consequences.
Well, they put them in certain parts of town, though.
That's one of the things that the judges and Jefferson Parish, from his constituents, that goes, a lot of those people break the laws, the speeding and all that. Hey, they're sweeping under the rug. I'm going to give you a perfect example. I got caught out there doing a U-turn, okay?
Right.
Fortunately, I stayed behind, and the lady got the ticket before me. She drove off, okay? And he heard me. This is the next conversation of the next person I got. He let them go and came back and showed my ticket up and told me, don't worry about it. If I had to do about two people would be paying the ticket.
Thank you, Lonnie. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man.
God bless. Have a great weekend, man. Well, I think Wes summed it up. Wes said, we keep walking down this path. You better learn how to ride your... You better learn how to ride your bike.
That's right.
And I guess we'll have bike cameras.
That's right. Yeah, we will. That would be it.
When we come back, man, we're going to talk revenue, DA.
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of things in this city. Jeff Thomas, he's on fire. You don't want to miss it. We'll be back after the break.
All
right. WBOK, New Orleans.
You're listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. And as always, Roe Brown and Janella Newsom, news and sports. No one does it better, man. And Roe, thank you for those little known facts. Sam Holden, before Leonard Fournette, Mr. Think 544.
Who knew?
Purple Knight.
Who knew?
Highest rated. Sam Holden of Grambling. Yeah, Grambling had five people in the first 30-something.
Yeah, he was the 31st pick that year. Wow, who knew?
Back when black kids used to go, had to go.
That's right.
HBC.
Right.
Use, wow. Well, we're right back in the middle of a conversation with MrThink504.com. We left, and we have to make some corrections here. I know one thing we like to do is that
the
$200 million is really $120 million in outstanding fines and fees
out there for
traffic cameras.
And it's $25 million.
And the yield is about between $25 and $30 million a year from the traffic cameras. So,
And I'm glad. Thanks to Jack for giving us that
information.
Absolutely.
But Mr. Data.
Yeah, that's right.
Mr. 411.
In my zest zeal, I was wrong. So I was a little different.
Jack will not let us get our facts wrong
here. That's right.
At WBOK. Thank you, Jack. We love you, man.
That's right. And so I was a little, in my zest and zeal, I was a little off and I was a little wrong and I apologized, much like the DA did when he talked about those fake subpoenas. So we're going to get to that in a few minutes. But I want to finish. I want to finish talking about these traffic cameras. There are a few things about it that I contend make it illegal and make them cause crime. But first thing is this. I think they are intentionally deceptive. Let me tell you something.
Hold on a second. You've used some really powerful
intentionally
words.
Intentionally deceptive? Yes.
Intentionally deceptive?
They absolutely positively are. Listen, let me tell you something. Back when we first had cars in America, you'd be driving along, you go from Paris or county to county, and there'd be a speeding sign that was a green sign, shaked it like a circle. You go to the next county, and they had a little yellow sign, and it was down on the ground. And so drivers were unaware, and then you go to the next county or a parish, and they had big, giant purple signs that said speed limit is only 30 here, whereas 5 miles back it was 50. And so, you know, you had all of this confusing signage. So the federal government came up with a law that you have to have consistency in signs. So now we get red stop signs that are octagon shaped. We got red, yellow, and green red traffic lights everywhere around the country. But here in New Orleans, in our traffic camera signs, we have a multitude. We have five different sign kinds. We have different sizes. We have some that you see in the school zones that are yellow that say photo enforced.
I thought there was supposed to be uniformity in terms of signage so that it was easily identifiable.
Correctly. Correct.
There should be some consistency.
Yes, sir. That's my point. And that's why I said they are intentionally deceptive. Listen, the city knows how to make signs. The city is in the sign business.
Wait. So, Jeff Thomas.
Yes, sir.
So you're basically saying that the city wants you to violate.
Yes, because $25 million of the budget is dependent upon you speeding through a school zone.
It's deceptively intentional.
Intentionally deceptive. Exactly right. And sinister. Absolutely positively. Let me tell you.
You are on fire this morning.
Oliver, you got some signs that have a picture of a traffic light. Now, you would think that sign would only be if you run the traffic light, they take your picture. Right. But if you're speeding, that traffic sign, that camera can also ticket you.
Let me ask you another question. Uh-huh. So many people have asked this question.
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, thanks to Alicia Plummer for her text. If you can't identify the driver, you can actually go down and argue about the constitutionality of the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But most people don't do that because they got to take off work. They have to get a lawyer, get somebody to represent them. Mm-hmm. So it actually costs you to do that, even if you're right.
Well, let me tell you something. Absolutely right. That's a good segue into why these cameras cause crime. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the deal. You, Oliver, me, somebody who has a decent job, you get a $100 ticket, $200 ticket in the mail. You're gonna cry. It's gonna be a pain.
I can't pay it. I can't afford it.
You're gonna pay it because you're gonna know that if you don't pay it, what's gonna happen is that you let it go 1 month and now they're coming
to get your car.
It's $75. Well, not quite. Not yet.
Not yet.
It's $75, and then the fee escalates. So it's these escalating fees.
So walk us through this process.
Okay. So this is part of the city change, right? It used to be the city would send you, if you got one of those camera tickets, the city would constantly, regularly, and continuously send you notifications in the mail, right? Every couple of months you get a letter in the mail. Right. Now they only send them 3 times.
Right.
After the third notification, they don't even mail you a letter anymore. They figure you know it, all right? So, but every time they send a letter, the fee escalates. And it gets it quadruples in price.
I noticed that now that people are calling, that they're actually coming boot people in their neighborhoods now.
Well, that's where it gets sinister. And that's where it causes crime. Because this is what happens. After, it used to be, now I'll just say what it is now.
You boot the wrong person's car in front of their house, it's going to cause some crime.
You know, right. They might try to torch off that boot.
12 gauge.
Right. But here's the deal.
We're not promoting that, listener.
No, not at all. But here's the deal. After only 2 tickets, only after you ignore those letters in the mail because you can't afford it. Because listen, the average guy in New Orleans, you send them a ticket. If you're working a minimum wage job, and you know New Orleans has tons and tons of minimum wage jobs, if you send those guys, I see those lines are lit up. I want to get to this real quick. I'll just say it. So I'm talking really fast all of a sudden.
Hurry up and walk through the process.
Right. So here's the process. You get booted, and now you can't afford the ticket. Well, first of all, you got in the mail a ticket you can't afford to pay, so you ignore it. It escalates to thousands of dollars.
Right.
So now you got these thousands of dollars of fines. So now the city has part of that $40 million crime prevention thing was an $11 million investment in traffic cameras. So now they have a bunch more vans going around with cameras, taking pictures and recognizing license plates and booting cars. So car booting is up about 75% over the last 5 years. So car booting.
So that's how you can park on your street in front of your house now.
And people are going out
and they're seeing that.
Right, because they invested more money for this Arizona and Cincinnati company to get their for sure.
More police.
No, not at all. That's part of the $25 million they're expecting to collect. But listen, I'm sorry, we're digressing. Here is the important point. So if you get this boot on your car, you work a minimum wage job, you cannot afford to pay that ticket. So now your car is booted. Your car is immobilized. The city has actually taking your property from you. I mean, this is like a RICO Act kind of thing. But I mean, your car is in jail. Now, your car is in jail now. I mean, listen, the city doesn't put people in jail now for nonviolent offenses.
Sinister, deceptively intentional deception, RICO.
Yeah, exactly right. And so what they're doing is creating crime, because what happens is when they put your car in jail, when they boot it, when they put your car in jail and they boot it, and you can't afford to get it out, and all of a sudden you can't get to work until your second job.
Right.
So now you're losing income. Maybe you start missing a few days, and after you miss a few days, let me tell you, some of these jobs are highly replaceable, because they're 40% of the black men are unemployed looking for jobs. Right. So they can go find another one. I see our lines are lit. So I'll just say this, and then we can take some calls. And we got to get to the DA, though, so we can't take that many calls.
Then you wind up in the Almanac at the Pine.
Exactly right. So then what happens is, once your car gets booted, you don't get it for 3 days, they put it on Claiborne Avenue,
somebody getting carjacked.
All right, exactly right. So then after your car is on Claiborne Avenue for 10 days, if you don't reclaim it, they send it out to Almanaster. After 60 days in Almanaster, guess what the city can do?
Auction.
Sell your car. So they taking your property. They jacking you. They taking it. And now you're now unemployed because you can't get to work. And so if you can't get to work, you got child support payments to pay. You got rent to pay. How are you going to?
I'm coming to take your car.
I'm taking it. That's what the city is doing. And the unintended consequences are that they are going to create more crime. This is what traffic cameras are doing. Our state legislators
The city is doing, y'all better get Jeff Thomas off of y'all butt with these traffic cameras.
I'm telling you.
He's not letting this go. Line one, Brother Ronald.
Good morning.
Jeff's on fire.
My call. I'm going to say it over and over again. I have won several cases, not for me personally, but
right.
When you go to get a red light ticket, the word you have to ask them, give it a calibration report. According to the contract from Red Dot out of Arizona,
right.
There's a 30-day report that accompanies every month on the calibration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I have done, I can name you one direct street at Washington and St. Charles.
Mm-hmm.
The street is broken up. Now, the average car is 18 feet long, right? And what gets you the red light ticket is the timing of the yellow light. I did it at Palmetto.
Mm-hmm.
I did it at Washington and St. Charles. But then if you want to look up around the whole country, Tom Daschle, the former Speaker of the House, has a report. And I've been advising folks on this on BOK for the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
He'll tell you the whole piece on this whole thing. But I meet people at City Hall, and I tell them just ask
for
a calibration report. Now, here's the humbug.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a red light ticket or a traffic ticket, do you know the average judge in this city don't know the appeal process? Never in the history of New Orleans have a traffic ticket been appealed. Guess where you appeal it at? In criminal court to the magistrate judge.
Brother Ronald, I have to ask you a question. Why have judges around the country and in other parishes upheld it as unconstitutional, but our judges allow these tickets, cameras
to? Because tomorrow, if we don't show, you heard this guy earlier, they think this got us so much on lock that we're not going to vote, and then we vote. We all listen to these, what we call them, alphabet suits.
Yeah.
And Martin Luther King and Jesus come out and tell us to vote, and the ministers tell us to vote. The CBDs tell who to vote for. So you look at it. You only have a 40% of the electorate come out to vote. Like you say, we got to put David Duke on there, Obama on the ballot. But tomorrow is just as valid. Did you see the picture of one of the candidates at the monument? Y'all tell me about that.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? So that could be a rallying call or what. But at the end of the day, I'll close by saying, all you have to do, even the state police in New Orleans East, my son-in-law got a ticket, and I asked them for the calibration report for those speed guns. Guess what? The ticket was thrown out. So New Orleans listeners, WBOK listeners, if you get a red light ticket, request a calibration report for the next 30 days, the time you got the ticket.
Thank you.
Yeah, throw it out.
Oh, that's right.
Thank
but
you
here's
for taking
the thing.
My call.
Thank
keep
you.
The fight up, man.
Thank
Ronald's
you.
Right.
Thank
Except
you.
Here's the thing. Too many people don't have time to go down there. They can't take time off from
Big
work
Al.
To go there.
Big
well,
Al.
Go ahead, Big Al.
Al.
I'm
sorry. You're wrong with Jeff Thomas. He's on fire. Somebody better do something about these
I'm on
these
fire. Let me
cameras.
Tell you something, man. People are losing their jobs. They're going to be busing people to come in, black people to come in the city because they can't live here. And their car's going to be there. Look, Oliver, I want to thank you. For years ago when you was council person, at Christian Unity, an old lady car was booted unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I called you,
mm-hmm.
and you helped me get her.
Yeah.
You don't remember, but it was years ago. You helped me get that lady. She was wrong what they did, and you helped me get the boot off and the car from under the
Well, you can't do that anymore.
The expressway.
You can't
let me say
do
this
that
to
anymore.
You. this is what I'm talking about, Mitch. Mitch's a nice guy, probably. He can wobble and all that, but he not for us. Man, I got more food in Central City. Come on. Clara Street, Jackson Avenue. Man, that's going to be an eyesore. It's going to be a black eye. And guess what? The people, and most people...
You can wobble, but it'll take your call.
Wobble, baby, wobble.
I have no process, like Ronald said. So bottom line is that... Right. Who are you working for? It's about money.
That's right. Well, that's right.
Well, Jay, thank you, man. He can, well, let's hope that, he does more than, wobble. Man, look. First of all, we got to get back and do another show.
Right.
On this traffic camera piece.
I'm going to post an article on Think 504 or somewhere. Right. It's going to get posted real soon about how these traffic cameras cause crime.
But what is this? You're getting some national attention, and Think 504, the blog, everybody subscribe. You're getting national attention for your call for the DA to either resign or be arrested.
Yes. I think he should be arrested, and he should resign. I don't care which comes first, but both of those things should happen. Absolutely. What this guy did, this is an abomination. This is an outlandish, outrageous abuse of power. It absolutely, positively is. How can the people trust the DA now? How can the people trust that the DA does anything above board?
And tell our listening audience why you making this call. We get national exposure around phony and illegal subpoenas.
They created fake subpoenas. Listen, in the city of New Orleans, state of Louisiana, the only person who can issue a subpoena is a judge. It has to be signed by a judge. Now the DA can give it to the person and say, here's a subpoena. What the DA was doing was taking subpoena paperwork and issuing it to people, and they said, you may be prosecuted if you don't come in, and they were trying to intimidate witnesses to come in and give testimony. And these subpoenas were not signed by a judge.
No. Hold on a second.
It was fake. Let me tell you, it was fraud. It was illegal. That's why he should be arrested. Let me tell you something. If I create some fraudulent
documentation. Wait, Mr. Thomas, slow down.
I'm sorry, we only got three minutes left.
Without a judge's signature?
Without a judge's signature, the DA's office was going to citizens, knocking on their door, I have a subpoena. You gotta come and you gotta come talk. And if you don't come talk, the subpoena said you're gonna go to jail. So what do you do if you're just a guy who doesn't know? And the DA's office, he's a real guy from the real DA's office, and it has the DA stamp on it, and it says subpoena, and it says you're going to go to jail, and it's signed by the DA's office, and they are, let me tell you something. The next step in this slippery slope for the DA is to falsify evidence, is to hide evidence. And so we know that the previous DA did this. We know that, I mean, people are getting out of jail all the time because of this. How can the people trust Leon Cannizzaro? We need a strong DA that's going to do the right thing. But this guy is part of an old dinosaur paradigm, which is to lock people up at any cost. His whole thing is, you know, conviction race. Let's put people in jail. You got guys who steal candy bars who he wants to multiple bill. This is not the trend in the country today is to slow incarceration. It is to put people out of jail. Putting people in jail for even very short periods of time creates more crime. It's a slippery slope that destroys people's lives and destroys families. That this guy is abusing his power in such a way.
But you think this raises to the level of a resignation or being arrested in terms of breaking the law?
Can you trust the DA going forward? How can you trust anything that the DA says? That the DA would deceive people intentionally. This is illegal. It's fraudulent. And he can't be
Jeff
trusted.
Thomas, I have to ask you a question now.
Yes,
because
sir.
I'm thinking, you know, think504.com, you have over 250,000 people that follow you.
That's right.
Now you're one of the fastest growing blogs in this region. And see why.
Right.
There's a term that says you don't tug on Superman's cape.
Well, listen, I'm not afraid of this bad DA.
And you don't spit in the wind. You're taking on the mayor. Very influential people here.
Knock me in the head. I think it's important that the city needs to be a sanctuary city for black people and black families and white people and white families. It needs to be a place where people can come and live a great life, where people can be free of crime, where we have policies. So we need to institute policies and rules and regulations that uplift
people. You shouldn't be afraid of government.
You shouldn't be afraid of government. Government should be there for your protection. It should not be there to deceive you, to try to trick you, to have these different kinds and shapes and sizes of signs and different heights of signs. lines and try to get you to involuntarily go 5 miles over a speed limit, and now all of a sudden you get this ticket in the mail that you can't afford to pay, because you know New Orleans has lots and lots and lots of minimum wage jobs, and if you get a $200 ticket in the mail, or you get a couple of tickets and the escalating fines and fees go up to thousands of dollars, you can't afford that boot. You lose your car, you lose your job, you go to jail. That's a bad policy. And for, as far as the DA, we need a DA above reproach. We need to be able to believe that when the DA brings charges against somebody, that they're doing the right thing, that they've investigated, that they haven't intimidated people. Listen, the DA has an atrocious history of multiple billing. The DA has an atrocious history of charging people for perjury who the police intimidated into giving false testimony.
Jeff Thomas, we got a minute left.
And
I have to ask you this question. Do we have justice in this town?
We don't. We have a broken justice system. When we have a police department that is under consent decree, we have the sheriff that's under consent decree, we have this DA that's deceiving people and lying to people and manipulating people and arbitrarily and capriciously bringing unnecessary charges against people. This is a broken system that we need to fix. This is what I'm talking about. I want our city to be great. I want our city to be a place where people are making lots of money, where they can raise their families. I want my children to be able to raise their children here and this be a place where they can live in peace, harmony, love, and utopia and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm fighting against these things that I think take away from that. The mayor's policy on these traffic cameras is one thing that creates crime. It's an unintended consequence. I don't think they want to do it, but I think that's what happened.
Yeah, Jeff Thomas, how can people get in touch with you? How can they subscribe to your blog?
Go to think504.com, and there's a subscribe to our newsletter link right on the right. And I encourage people. I thank people. I'm happy. And thanks for all the callers who called in. I'm sorry I had to talk so fast this morning, but I only had an hour, and we had 2 hours worth of information.
Well, he only has a half an hour. We're going to talk about some good stuff.
the president
of all time, Paris President Guy McGinnis, his state of the Paris report. After the break, you promise to come back?
Absolutely, and I like the things that he's doing. And if we had a Paris president or a mayor like that, we might have a better city.
Well, we're going to talk about that after the break. We'll be back. Jeff Thomas, man, you on fire.
Thanks, Oliver, for having me,
brother. Go enjoy the Jazz Fest.
Oh, yeah, I'm going out there tomorrow. Thank you, sir. You got a free ticket for me?
No.
I got mine. Thanks, I appreciate it.
No, but if you got one, holler at you, boy.
I got you.
We'll be back with the Paris president after the break. All right.